If you have not changed the way that you buy meat yet, you should make the switch to Good Ranchers today. When you subscribe, Good Ranchers will give you 1.5 pounds of free bacon in every box for a year. That's a $240 value. And this bacon tastes so good because Good Ranchers pigs are never crated and they never use antibiotics or added hormones. And they have heritage breeds that have historically produced the best pork in the world. Subscribe today and get their price lock guarantee. What you pay today will be what you pay a year from now. With Good Ranchers, I consistently get the same quantity and quality of meat every single time. Their all-natural burgers, USDA prime steaks, and better-than-organic chicken have changed my standard for great meat, and it will change yours too. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use code Dana for $20 off your next box. Get free bacon, great meat, a secure price, and a bonus of $20 off today at GoodRanchers.com with code Dana when you subscribe. GoodRanchers.com, code Dana. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
A mediocre male athlete can simply identify as a female and go on to dominate women's sports. Simply put, I would just have to ask you to think, do you think this is fair to biological girls?
Thank you, Chairman Adderhall. Our focus at the Department of Education is to provide equal access, free from discrimination, to students. As we know, Title IX has helped over the last 50 years provide opportunities for girls, and we're proud of the work that we're doing to make sure that, for example, the training facilities for girls has the same attention and funding as it does for boys. So we are proud of the Title IX proposal, and the current proposal that you're speaking about is just that. It's a proposal, and we have a window open for comments that we're going to take very seriously.
And Biden's not going to, he's going to veto it. I had this in your headlines. Yeah. If you get the prep, by the way, that came out in headlines, and oh boy, welcome to the program. Happy Tuesday to you, Dana Lash here. So the it's the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. I noticed this whenever I was looking at for prep last night. And I was looking at all of the different stories as it related to Biden to veto this. They didn't call a single, not one time did they refer to it by its name. They just called it the transgender, you know, sports. I can't remember the wordy way in which it was all different because nobody wants to actually call it that. They don't want to have that in a headline and people go, what do you mean he's going to veto the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Acts. No, they have to make it like, oh, Biden's going to veto the hateful anti-trans bill. That's how they put it, or something to that effect. But it's about protecting women's sports, which, as I mentioned yesterday, it's incredibly ironic that Title IX is being used to do this. So as I said, welcome to the show. Your smart-ass curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. It is. Been sowing my oats, whatever that means. I don't even know how oats are sown, but there is the phrase. You can sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. And you can find us, if you're not listening on a station in a city near you, you can stream the program. You can watch the simulcast, Facebook, YouTube, DirecTV, Channel 347. So that's one of the big things that we're watching today, whether or not he's going to veto this. Yesterday, also, video emerged of John Fetterman. Someone explain this to me. He apparently showed up to the Senate in athletic shorts and a hoodie, ankle socks. The dude skips leg day. My calves are shapelier than his. And his tennis shoes. Now, I don't mind, you know, casual Fridays, but it was a Monday. And he's going into the Senate building in workout shorts, a hoodie, and sneaks. I don't even, like, my kids don't even go to church dressed like that. They don't go to, you know, they I make them dress. I mean, he's like cosplaying as the everyman. And he thinks that he thinks that everyday dudes dress like this. And so he thinks that that's how they dress. And so he's going to keep up the shtick, you know, because apparently everyday dudes don't own trousers, slacks, you know, even some, you know, Walmart loafers. Apparently they don't even own those. Is that what I'm supposed to believe? I just find it ridiculous that he showed up to work. Like, does he go? Because I know there's a dress code when you go onto the floor, but come on, like, to go. This is wild. So we returned to the Senate. Again, it looks like a casual Monday, very casual Monday. There was a lot of comments about dress codes as he walked in. He was 2-month absence, where they said he received treatment not for the multitude of strokes that he had that actually impaired his cognitive function, but for clinical depression, they said. But gets out and he's dressed like that. I mean, didn't even have pants on. Man, don't even have no pants on. Shorts and a hoodie. This is I don't care if he's a Democrat from, you know, Pennsylvania. He still is a United States senator who works for the people. And I think that we have a little bit of an expectation as to how they're supposed to, you know, you have a dress code. I mean, they bitch if Jim Jordan doesn't wear a jacket. He had his jacket off at one point and they threw a fit. John Fetterman shows up in athletic shorts and a hoodie. And y'all are like, oh, no, big deal. No big deal. Sure. Okay. Uh-huh. Now, a couple of other things. I got some Democrat headlines. Did you guys see the Tennessee representative who literally brought in a child's casket to the Capitol? Did you see this? I was kind of shocked to see this. It was a part of, I guess, his protest. He didn't even go to these people's funerals, but he's all about. It was an infant-sized casket. That he was one of the Tennessee Three, and they all like were carrying these baby. I'm just like, why is it a baby casket that he's bringing in? I mean, you should bring, if you were going to be accurate. It was Justin Jones and Justin Pearson. If they were going to be accurate, they would be carrying a full size grown adult casket in, and it would be due to drug and gang violence. But they brought in a baby casket. Is this a Planned Parenthood demonstration? I'm curious. That was my first thought. This is the kind of stunts that this is what they do. And he brings it in and he's like being told he was barred from carrying it onto the House floor. And they carry these baby caskets like babies are going out and shooting each other instead of 18 and 19 year old gangbangers and drug dealers that are fueling it. But they won't deal with that because they want to scare you all into thinking that something's coming for your kids. That's the whole point of this. That was ghoulish. These people are absolute ghouls. Walking in with a child-sized casket when he's talking about 18 and 19-year-old gangbangers and drug addicts. And he was barred from carrying it onto the floor. I mean, I love the guy who's in the big old bishop robe and he's got a face mask on and he's, oh, for the love. I think the obesity is probably like the bigger thing. But what a ghoulish stunt. That is just disgusting. That kind of describes, I think, the ideology of this party at this point. I hate everything today. Now, I want to talk about this case that everybody's been talking about. Have you guys, this is out of my home state of Missouri. A teenager was shot and killed, 16-year-old, this is in Kansas City, 16-year-old teenager named Ralph Yar was shot and killed by an 80-something-year-old guy who's been, by the way, he's been charged with two felonies. This 84-year-old homeowner, this was in the evening, it was in Clay County, Missouri, Andrew Lester, 84, he's been hit with two felony charges. They put a warrant for his arrest. And what ended up happening is that this teenager went to go and collect his two twin brothers and apparently went to the wrong house. And the time between him being on the porch, first announcing that he was there, and then the homeowner responding, that's what they're going to argue about in court, because the homeowner took a second, got his gun, fired his gun, and apparently I read one report where it said it went through the glass. Long story short, the 16-year-old was hit, shot in the head. He made a miraculous recovery and has been released from the hospital, thank heavens. But there was a story I was reading last night about a neighbor who heard the commotion, and he went outside to help the teenager. A lot of people have been speaking up for Ralph Jarl in this. And I watched yesterday, because I think it's important to get this. Here's the thing. I watched the Bloomberg groups go out and say, oh, this is the problem with the shoot first law. Can I just educate people for a second? There is no such thing as a shoot first law. That is a moronic, disgusting, ghoulish, criminally ridiculous thing that every town, the Michael Bloomberg group, the Nepo Baby group, that they have been pushing out there. There is no such thing as the shoot first law. That's what they try to call stand your ground, because they want to maliciously misrepresent what stand your ground is. Secondly, stand your ground is not even applicable in this case. Stand your ground is, which is in pretty much every single state, including California, which the left loves. Stand your ground means that you do not have a duty to retreat when you believe that your life is in jeopardy, that you are facing a serious life-threatening situation. That is what that means. And that is not applicable in this case. The homeowner originally, some of these earlier reports, because Ralph Jarl mistakenly rang the doorbell, and it was the wrong address, and this 84-year-old, the question is why did he actually believe that his life was in jeopardy, that his life was in danger? Because when I was reading some of the reporting on what happened, and I'm just going off everything that's been publicly shared by law enforcement, because I read that he knocked on the door, then I read that, oh, he rang the doorbell, which isn't really relevant, but I don't know how that might be argued by prosecution or defense in a court of law. But it was about 10 o'clock on Thursday night, and apparently Lestra had shot through the storm door, glass was shattered, and he provided written consent to search his residence, etc. There was blood only really on the porch, and then from Jarl as he was leaving the porch. And so this, from everything that I see, it is going to be very difficult for me to, I don't know what argument defense is going to make wherein they are going to successfully present the case that Lester believed that someone was trying to break in his home and kill him. Because the probable cause said that Lester picked up his gun before responding to the door. And Lester apparently told authorities that he believed someone was trying to break inside of his house. Lester said that he was scared to death because he said Jarl was large and he looked older. And the probable, that's, so that was in the, this was in some of the law enforcement, the arrest affidavit, etc. Again, and it was two rounds. I just really feel like defense is going to have a very difficult time in presenting the case that he actually credibly felt that his life was in danger. Because even though you can have stand your ground laws, the issue is that's, you have to show that you reasonably believed that your life was in danger. So if the door was locked, etc., if someone knocked on the door or rang the doorbell, typically home invaders don't do that. And there's just a lot there. There's a lot there. Now, here's the issue with this case, and we're going to get moving to headlines, but everyone is making this a racial issue. I don't know anything at this point to believe that it is a racial issue. I also don't see where it's a self-defense issue. But there was a similar case involving a young woman, and I included this as well in prep, that it was a 12-year-old. There are two other cases where people were shot and killed. One woman was shot and killed in her vehicle by someone who was trying to make the same self-defense case. And this was in New York. There was a 12-year-old who was killed. And then there was a woman who was attacked in Chicago. Everyone is trying to seize in on the racial components of this case and ignore these other cases, which I think the outrage is outrage, but sometimes it can be situationally used for a particular narrative. And in this case, all these other cases are being discounted in favor of one where a racial agenda can be pushed. And I haven't seen enough public reports to substantiate that. And I've seen a lot of people seize upon it to use it as a way to attack Steinger Grant when it's inapplicable in this case. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Southwest Airlines briefly paused departures because they were reporting technical problems. That happened this morning. They had over 1,500 flights. About 36% of their schedule were delayed, according to FlightAware, which tracks all airlines. They said Southwest had a meltdown, obviously, over year-end holidays. I don't know if anything changed after that, but they had a brief grounding. They grounded all their flights this morning, and apparently things are up and running. No thanks to Mayor Secretary Rhodes or Racist Poot. Also, a couple of other things. Dianne Feinstein's plan to swap herself out with another Democrat on the Judiciary Committee is not going well. Republicans are saying they're going to block it. Democrats are very upset over this. Of course they are. Taiwan is going to buy 400 U.S. anti-ship missiles intended to repel any kind of Chinese invasion. That's some interesting news. Dead birds becoming drones. This is disgusting. Researchers in New Mexico have been doing, well, feeding the birds aren't real conspiracy theory. A team of scientists at the New Mexico Institute of Mining and Technology, they're taking dead birds and converting them into drones to study flight. They're not spying, but it is disgusting. It's an actual real bird, a dead one, that's converted into a drone. A dead one. Wow. Stick with us because we have some weirdo fringe infighting, woke, law and order, and all kinds of stuff. As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
How much is the mainstream media in cahoots with the Biden administration? Since when did the media care so much about catching leakers? Is that their job? Should they be asking more questions instead of being another wing of the White House? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Fire at Twitter. One of the great business stories of the year.
I think we're about 20% of the original size.
So 80% left.
Yes.
So
A lot of people voluntarily.
Sure. But it's 80% are gone from the day you took
over. That's correct, yes.
So how do you run the company with only 20% of the staff?
Turns out you don't need all that many people to run Twitter.
But 80%? That's a lot.
Yes. If you're not trying to run some sort of glorified activist organization and you don't care that much about censorship, then you can really let go of a lot of people, it turns out.
I love that. I love that so much. He's like, yeah, if you're when you're not being an activist, then you can, an activist organization, then you can fire a whole bunch of people. That's true. That was part of the, apparently part two. My friend Tucker was talking to Elon Musk, and I guess they're going to have the second part of that tonight. But that was from the discussion. I did think that was funny. They had so many people that worked there. Honestly, how do you need that? And they all, oh my gosh, the weeping and gnashing of teeth when they were getting fired. Because it was, he's right. I mean, it really, they were treating it like an activist organization. Also, I think that your overhead gets a little out of control. That's one of the things that a lot of these digital startups and conservative new media sites too, particularly, they get so far ahead of themselves and they have all this infrastructure, but yet they don't have the stuff to fill it yet. And then they end up getting, a little turned around. And Twitter got to that point because they had all of these people working there and they just had them in activist positions. So he's like, that's amazing. You don't really need all of that. They were all weeping and moaning about it. Okay, first off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here. We were having this discussion. We're a weird show because our staff, like Kane is, you're sort of like in the middle of Gen X.
Yeah, I'm Gen X.
I'm like barely Gen X. I'm baby, little infant baby, newborn Gen X, which I will be in Gen X. I literally will lie about my age and make myself older if I have to. I swear hands to sky I will. And then we had this conversation because we were talking about certain attributes of millennials that even, like, Steve's a millennial and he even hates millennials. And we're like, Steve, you're the only millennial we like. And he's a baby millennial and Juan is Gen Z. Juan is, where does he fall in Gen Z? So he's
right in the beginning of Gen Z.
Yeah. Right, so he's like an older Gen Z dude. He's older Gen Z. I think it's so arbitrary, by the way, how they cut these things off. It's really weird. I just think it's very arbitrary. And then wasn't there supposed to be, I was reading someone, or reading this piece from some sociologist who was saying that there actually is a micro gen between Z or between millennials and X because of the internet, the creation of the internet. And it was determined, which I think is stupid, but I mean, I guess I can understand the argument. And it was determined by whether or not you had the internet when you were in school. Which, does it really make that much of a difference? Dude, I remember I had like high school AOL chat. Remember that? I was a troll, man. I was such a troll. Everything was black. My font was black. Everything was black. And I would come in with like Slayer or something. I could like code it in and drop it. It was all like so stupid.
The best we had in my school was do you remember the K-Pros? Those K-Pro machines? They look like when the keyboard was attached to the top of it, it had a handle on it and you carried it around like a freaking suitcase. And you took the keyboard off the top of it and it had its little screen and you put your floppy disks in there.
I totally don't remember that.
Oh my gosh. That's what I was introduced to when I was young.
I remember. Do people have typing class anymore?
I had that when I was in,
because they were phasing that out when I was in high school. Like, but I was a senior in high school before they started to not have such much of an emphasis on it. Right. And now I don't even think they offer it, along with home ec, or I don't think they offer shop. Do high schools have shop classes anymore?
They did when I was in high school. I don't know about now. I don't think so.
Did you really have a high school experience if you didn't walk past a shop class full of burnouts? Like at least once an afternoon. I mean, was it really a high school experience? I don't know. Or the nerds in the typing lab. Was it really a high school?
We did serious stuff in shop. We rebuilt starter motors. We rebuilt lawnmower engines.
You guys
engines.
Did cool stuff in there.
Yeah.
I sewed a pig pillow in home ec. But I will say, I also learned how to balance a checkbook and do other adulting things in home ec. Yeah. Where kids don't do that now. My oldest son was complaining about it. He was like, they didn't teach us this stuff in school. I'm like, really? I was like, they didn't teach. Like, no. I mean, we had to take home ec. I think it was actually mandatory. I was in seventh grade and I had to take home ec. But when you were in junior high, you had to take 1 year of home ec, two semesters. And then one of my projects was I had to, along with a team of other similarly addled people, domestically addled people, because we're kids, We had to make like a whole, like, what was it, 3-course meal and had the budgeting and everything. And then I had to create a pillow and you could pick from a pattern. And I think it's funny now that one of my hobbies is now one of my final projects for, it's funny. But yeah, they don't teach us stuff anymore. They don't teach. And then I just wonder if that's, cause have you heard kids complain about this now? It's Gen Z that I hear this the most from. They're like, oh my gosh, we didn't learn about any of this stuff. Balance a checkbook. What? I don't even use checks. I'm like, well, you still need to go and like, look at your bank account and make sure that nobody's stealing from you. I mean, be obsessive about that stuff.
I think high school should have those type of classes in addition to how to fill out your taxes.
Yeah,
how
they don't teach any of that.
How to start an LLC.
How to address an envelope.
Yeah, just those simple things. We totally abandoned all that stuff.
I had one of my friends, because we're sending out graduation. You send out graduation invites and all that stuff. And one of my friends she texted me. She was like, oh my gosh. She said, did you deal with this with your child? She's like, because I sat down with my son and we were filling out graduation announcements and invites, and she said he literally did not know how to fill out the envelope. And I go, what? She's like, he literally did not know where to put what on the envelope. Wow. Well, okay, think about it though. In his defense, really quickly, how often do Gen Z people,
right,
do they get mail, right? How often? I mean, who sends you mail? It's either spam, military.
Right.
What else?
Circulars.
Yeah.
Credit card application.
Credit card applications. And that's kind of really it. Everything else is like Evite. It's all like something else, right?
Right.
So, yeah. I'm just a little fascinated by all of that. Yeah, they don't teach any of that stuff. I'm actually thinking, like, I don't know. Or college stuff. You get college stuff. And that's kind of it. They don't get me. Everything is Evite. Even like your bank stuff is, you might get like your summary, you know, your monthly statement, but that's it. They don't really get. So I was thinking about it, and then I check with my kid and I'm like, hey, do you know how to fill out an envelope? Now, remember, I homeschooled for a number of years, and thankfully he reminded me that that's one of the things that we covered, because we did a Flat Stanley thing. I don't know if you guys remember Flat Stanley. It was a little boy who was flat, and his parents sent him around to travel the world in an envelope, which was incredibly irresponsible. But, I mean, we wouldn't have had the book without it. So, anyway, would you say it's like quizzing Gen Z on rotary phones?
Yeah, on the rotary phone.
That is one of my favorite things to watch. Young Gen Z figuring out how to use a rotary phone is one of my favorite. Those videos are so, like, wholesome and genuine. Yeah. These kids are like, how do you use this? And they pick it up and they're like, it's already on. How do you use this? It is so funny. Oh, it cracks me up. They think that they're fancy.
Right.
What is it? Sets in like this? It is, oh, and I cry
between
laughing.
Themselves trying to figure out, so if I put my finger in the 3 hole.
And then if they mess up, they're like, gosh, dang it, I got to start all over. How do you text with this? So funny. I think my grandma had a rotary phone up until I was in legit, like in college, I think. I think that woman had a rotary phone. It was this old, like burgundy rotary phone. It did look fancy now that I think about it. I used to always want one of those fancy Victorian rotary phones when I was a kid. Goth aesthetic. Now I'm like, golly, All right, I have so many other things to hit. Okay, so can we talk about the wokery here? Really. Gotta have some of this wokery stuff that we have to discuss. So I have a million things, actually, we have to hit. I don't know if I'm getting everything. And we're going to return to that Ralph Jarl case as well and discuss that. So this is from I read it over at Washington Free Beacon and a couple of other places, too. This is a Senate bill in the state of Washington, 5599, that would actually, when you read the text, would really actually allow children to be legally removed from their parents if their parents do not consent to gender transition procedures on their child. They said, according to the bill, shelters could contact the Department of Children, Youth, and Families instead of parents for minors seeking reproductive health services or gender-affirming care. By the way, sidebar, once again, gender-affirming care is totally a weird phrase to me, because when I hear that phrase, I think of going to a doctor and the doctor's like, yep, that's a vagina. I mean, that sounds like gender affirmation, right? Yes. They're affirming that you have that. Not the experimental mutilation and the experimenting with hormones, which it is, because there's absolutely no long-term studies that show the long-term impact of this. It's very dangerous. So the Senate bill, 5599, said the proposal would pave the way for a more compelling reason to conceal a child who seeks sex change operations, blah, 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 blah. A Democrat state rep praised the bill's passing, blah, blah, blah. She says she supports kids who believe they belong in a different body than they were born. What if I identify as a billionaire? If unless you affirm me, you're a bigot. You absolutely have to validate my self-perception or you're a bigot. The Republicans obviously pressed against it, but it went through the Senate, so we'll see where it goes. But that's further, and that's incredibly troubling because when I was on Jesse Waters' program last night, the, what was it? It was a nurse practitioner, and it was a presentation in to members of the Navy, and it was talking about two Navy parents about their children. And I don't know if that was, I don't think it was revealed as to whether it was a top-down DOD directive or whether this was a nurse practitioner. It was a really long and boring video, but the stuff that she was saying was like kind of eyebrow-raising. Well, kind of it was. And she was saying that, you know, they starting from the age of 12, similar to what this bill is, that, you know, the government can intervene and you can, your 12-year-old could tell, you know, this healthcare provider, et cetera, that they were wanting to transition or something, and that the government, according to that nurse practitioner, believed that the parents didn't have a right to intervene or really to even know. And it was also troubling because it sounds very similar to this Washington bill, and that your 12-year-old could talk to these people about their mental health and you not know. So imagine, you know, if your child is dealing with mental health issues and you're the parent, you don't know that they're feeling suicidal, you don't know any of this stuff, and no one's telling you. This is the government trying to take your kids. That's what this is. This is just bizarre that this is, that without children's consent. Oh my gosh, can you imagine now, kids, what we're going to do is we're going to take you to a gun range. And we're going to let you touch all these guns and shoot all these guns and take pictures with all these guns. Don't tell your parents. Don't tell them. Don't say a single thing about it, you know, because you're, don't you say anything, ma'am, because your child, if they want to experiment with different types of firearms to see what they prefer, then they can, and you don't have to know. Imagine, it's a variable, switch it out. This is about undermining parental authority. Also, sidebar, can you imagine the response to that? Whoo, boy. Or imagine it's, you know, in our hedonistic secular society. Okay, we're going to take you to church and you're going to get baptized and you're going to go through all this stuff. And you don't have to tell your parents. Don't tell your parents. Shh, secret. Can you imagine? Oh, my gosh. Now, in the city of Portland, REI, which is a lefty store. Isn't it a lefty store? What is REI? Oh, recreational equipment. I live in Texas. We got an REI where I live. I've never been in it. I've literally, you know, not that I dislike the outdoors, but I feel like that's the bougie outdoor place, isn't it? Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah.
It's like the bougie stuff. It's like the stuff if you could go to Walmart or you could go to Costco or you could, you know, go, I don't know, a number of Dick's maybe, and you could get it for so much cheaper than REI. Am I correct in thinking that? Because it just looks bougie. The REIs are always by like the Whole Foods and stuff like that. So anyway, they said that they're closing their only remaining Portland store. Oh, why is that? They said it's the safety of their employee because the crime is so bad. No one's going to be able to go in and get their mountain gear and their South Butt merchandise. I mean, North Face merchandise. They're not going to be able to go and purchase it. In Texas, they go in there and come out with hiking stuff. I'm like, what are you? You're in Texas. Where are you going? You going to like out West Texas to the, what are you doing? Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
As a gun owner of many different types and a 20-year military veteran, I have some expertise in weaponry and self-defense weapons.
Sure you do, Steve.
Could you, in 15 seconds, would you define an assault weapon for me?
So
if you go past 15 seconds, I'll just interrupt you.
So I'll go shorter than that because I honestly, I do think that's a, if Congress wishes to take that up, I think Congress would have to do the work. But we would be there to provide technical assistance. Unlike you, I'm not a firearms expert to the same extent as you may be, but we have people at ATF who can talk about velocity of firearms, what damage different kinds of firearms cause, so that whatever determination
this guy's a moron,
you chose to make
already,
would be an informed.
Moron alert, that's Steve Dettelsbach. He's like, well, I don't know jack crap about guns, but you know, I mean, I can sit here, I can make rules that are treated like pieces of legislation about guns, even though I don't know anything about them. I don't know anything about any of that. He's got too many T's in his name. Give one up. You don't need, I mean, you know, you don't need that many T's. Just common sense, consonant control. Just saying, it's like all, you don't need that many. I'm just, you know, I'm just your ATF director. I don't know. I don't know nothing about nothing. I don't know about, I mean, I don't know about the velocity of the firearms and the, you know, the things that they do, but I'm going to regulate it because I'm the ATF director. Shoot your dog too. Anyway, so I laugh, but it's not actually wrong. So. I mean, it's like having a third orifice. You don't need it, right? Just you really, for dudes. So, all right, we have another hour. I don't know what happened. We have another hour on the way. We got to get into some Law and Order. Can we talk about this Major League Baseball pitcher who was mad because his wife had to clean up popcorn on the plane? Yeah, we got to hit that too. Disney got its butt kicked. Game, set, match. We got the details. Stick with us. Americans have had it. They're done supporting companies that rake in hundreds of millions, sometimes billions of dollars, while trashing the country that made their success possible. Until recently, we had to take it. But companies like Patriot Mobile are building a whole new economy, one which embraces the values that made America the greatest country on earth. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. Plus, they offer a coverage guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch to a different network for free without changing carriers. With Patriot Mobile, their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them right now at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana. We should stand together and support companies that share our values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. Patriot. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Bud Light, got to get your take on the boycott. So you just brought up Anheuser-Busch. Bud Light's getting hit as hard as I've ever seen it.
Why would you want to drink Bud Light? I mean, like, honestly, that's like them rubbing our faces in it. And it's like these companies that do this, if they never have any response, they're just going to keep doing it. So if you as a consumer are like, yeah, they're basically, and I mean, it's such a fraud with what they're doing with that. Like, yeah, they're doing that, but I'm just going to keep drinking it anyways. Well, then they're just going to keep doing it. So I think we have.
Yeah. So that's Governor Ron DeSantis. He's like, why would you keep drinking it if they're, and he's right. I mean, we talked about a little bit about this yesterday. I had a big piece that came out about this last night. Welcome back to the program. Top of our second hour, Dana Lash with you, your lovable curmudgeon. And they will keep doing it if there's no pushback. I got to say, and I'm not going to get all into it again, but I talked about this yesterday on the program. And for those of you who subscribe to the newsletter, I had that as well. I had it in there as well. And I am just, it's kind of, it amazes me the, I think there were a lot of people who were kind of wanting, I guess, to sort of, you know, for some reason, run away from, I don't know, like they trying to walk back from Budweiser. And there was this thing, I mean, even my friend who's, I've known him for a number of years, Donald Trump Jr. had said this and was saying that, you know, they give money to Republicans, so I'm not going to, he's like, you know, I'm leaving them alone. I think you should do the same. Well, I looked up exactly how much they gave. And it was, I mean, in fact, in 2020, they gave more to Joe Biden than they did to Donald Trump. A lot more. Just saying, a lot more. The organization and individuals, kind of a big deal. So they gave more to the organization gave more to the Democrat Party. They, and then going back to midterms, going back to, I mean, so just because they donated some to Republicans, that, I mean, don't you think that women are worth more than those political donations? I mean, here's the thing, and I wrote about this. This has never been about beer. This was never about beer. None of this ever was. This it was about phrases like menstruating people and pregnant people and birthing people. It was about teenage girls who are raped in bathrooms in the high school by legal age males who cosplay as female. It's about how women have been told all of our lives to listen to our gut instinct. And now we're being brainwashed by society into believing that this isn't a fear. This isn't a biological response to a history of well-documented criminal statistics involving women. It's your bigotry. This is about women who work their entire lives training and competing and perfecting their skill just to be shoved off the podium by a male whose only advantage is biological size. It's about a multi-generational cottage industry of feminism that used women for votes and then returned the favor by serving up women on this silver platter to the Antichrist of wokery. That's what it's about. And what makes me mad about this is that I don't, when Republican men say that they're going to, oh, well, you know, I'm going to leave them alone, you should too. Do not make your conservative sisters who have been out there getting your six against all this third wave feminism. Do not make us feel like flipping feminists because you're leaving us to defend ourselves alone and compete against political donations. Women are worth more than that. And as I said in the piece, this is a mistake that that can't be merely dismissed with a soulless non-apology from executives. And I get that the CEO wants to invoke his prior service and they want to rush out ads heavy on nostalgia as a way to lessen blowback. But, you know, the thing is, too, if they wanted to really mend fences, why not make an ad with the same heart as their most recent one, but feature female athletes? Or just, I don't know, man up and issue a straightforward apology. I'm sure the courage that guided its CEO in other areas of his life would serve him well in this one. Or would that hurt their ESG score? That's the thing with this. It was never about beer. Budweiser doesn't get a pass. They don't get a pass on any of this. Now, speaking of DeSantis, the left was livid. The left and what I'm calling the flaccid right. So he made a joke. He was talking about Disney, and there's video, and I think I included it in one of my Substack notes. He was making a joke about Disney, and he was saying that, well, you know, maybe we'll build, you know, this next to it. Maybe we'll build, and he was joking. He said, maybe we'll build a prison next to it. And the left and the flaccid right lost their mind. And I say the flaccid right because there are some people on the right who think that it's actually big government to stop political cronyism. They think it's big government to demand that corporations play on the same playing field. I thought it was hysterical. They were going crazy over it. The left and the flaccid right. He made a joke and everyone reported it. And what gets me is that some on the flaccid right, these are the same people who are like, oh, you can't trust the legacy press. And now these same people, we're going to trust the legacy press 1,000% on this and take it as a joke, totally out of, you know, actual context. Same people. Now, here's the thing with all of this. I guess some people forget, because Disney is just, I mean, they've game, set, match. It's done. Disney was escalating this because they didn't want to reach a settlement with Florida. The reason they didn't want to reach a settlement with Florida is because they did not want that to be an example and encourage other states to do the same with all of these other corporations that are receiving the special anti-capitalist treatment. And that's ultimately what it is. Never forget how all of this started. I mean, this is Disney's, the left is mad because Disney lost. I mean, this is one of the most influential companies in the world. I can't even count all the stuff that they own. They own so many things. You had the Parental Rights and Education Bill last year that the legislature took up, and that was all about giving parents more power in the classroom. And for kids who were in third grade or lower, it barred teachers from talking about their sex lives in the classroom and pushing gender identity on kids. And that's what the left got really mad about, because they think it's completely appropriate for adults to talk to other people's kids about how they have sex. And that's, in plain terms, that's exactly what it is. Florida legislators, what they did is they empowered the parents. And they gave the parents, you know, for actual authority and power, made and affirmed it in the classroom. And here's the crazy thing. There are a number of stories that even show how even a majority of Democrats in Florida supported the bill. There was an NPR study that showed 60% of voters there actually supported this. And so the left then went after Disney because they weren't doing enough to stop it, because they realized, oh, well, we're not going to be able to compete with the voters. So let's go after Disney, make Disney do this. And so that's when they went over the Don't Say Gay and all this other garbage and everything else that was in there and all of that. And so this is a huge company. They waded into Disney, made the mistake because they decided to allow the left to use them as a political force. They weren't unable, the left was unable to convince 60% of voters in Florida, and it included a significant number of Democrats. They were unable to persuade them. And so they decided to bully Disney into getting in this political fight. And so Disney was dumb and they did it. And so when lawmakers realized, oh my gosh, now you have this corporation that is using the influence that it gained from all of the special perks and exemptions and everything else that Florida gave it, that Florida didn't give everybody else. No other corporation got, you know, to run their, literally run their fiefdom like it was without even any kind of input from lawmakers or taxpayers. Nobody else got to do that. They literally, it was actually a corporate kingdom. They had their own sovereign entity within the state of Florida. What other corporation gets that? Can you imagine Walmart doing that in California? How do you think Democrats would receive that? Disney thought they could fight Florida voters by using all of the exceptions that Florida voters had given them. And all of these flaccid right people, a lot of them were the Never Trump people, were using this as a way to argue that somehow this was using the government to, when it wasn't. It's using the government to prop Disney up. You're actually reducing the government in this by disallowing all of these special exemptions. And so Disney tried to rebel against all of this. They wanted to cut this secret deal to protect their Reedy Creek interest. And now that's not going to happen. That's over. And it's done. They were outmaneuvered. The left was like cackling because they thought that they had outmaneuvered Florida lawmakers, and it turns out they didn't. It's done. So they lost this fight. And so now you have people like some flaccid right people that are going out there saying things like, oh, well, maybe Disney. I will have to say this. Can I say this? I was really disappointed to see Trump tweet this. He put it out on his thing. He said he put it out. This was this morning. Quote, DeSantis is being destroyed by Disney. He's going back to save face. Disney's next move will be the announcement that no more money will be invested in Florida because of the governor. They could announce a slow withdrawal or sale of certain properties or the whole thing. Watch. That would be a killer. In the meantime, this is also unnecessary. It's a political stunt. He called it a political stunt, and it's a lot more than that. This isn't a stunt. It's removing these exemptions that made Disney so powerful. They thought they could stamp over 60% of voter will in Florida. I don't know. I get that we're getting into a primary, but I want to caution Republicans to not do the work of the left by joining up with them because you think it's going to be a good investment temporarily to take out allies that are challenged. I mean, we don't live in a monarchy. We don't own our loyalty to anyone. No one has a right to a seat. I don't care where the hell it is. A lot of people are forgetting the role of politicians and voters in all of this. And I think that voters need to think a little bit more of themselves than they are. Your vote and your fealty isn't owned by anyone. And you should demand, as a responsible citizen and patriot, that lawmakers, they earn your vote and they earn your support. It's an audition every election, folks. And I don't like to see people join up with the left and make bad faith arguments on moves that actually reduce government involvement, take away special exemptions, make them actually, I thought the left loved when corporations paid their fair share. Disney didn't. I mean, I'm more than happy to go into the nitty gritty. If someone wants to contest my position on this, I'll spend the next 3 hours going over every single damn thing from the inception of Reedy Creek, because I actually looked into all of this. I wanted to know what I was talking about when I joined you on air. Unfortunately, I can't say the same about some of these flaccid right wannabes with their crappy podcasts. I mean, this was absolutely accommodating a corporation and that allowed them, empowered them, and then they thought they were going to steamroll, use all of this that they were given by taxpayers and steamroll over taxpayers. The left wanted to use them as a get-out-the-vote mechanism. And that's it. They have to abide by all the other rules that everybody else has to abide by. And so the deal that Disney tried to cut to get around lawmakers in Florida, that's going to get blown up. It's already happening. Game, set, match. It's done. And the left is apoplectic. And there are some on the right that are joining in with it because they are trying to strategize for a primary. Read the room and look at the bigger picture, folks. Good heavens. That's why you got like people like Chris Christie out there. He's like, well, this isn't a conservative move. When the hell did anyone ask Chris Christie a damn thing? I mean, not I.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A Kentucky man sued Netflix for $1 million after they used a photo of him posing with a hatchet on Instagram in its true crime doc called The Hatchet-Wielding Hitchhiker. That happened. And so they sued. This guy, Taylor Hazelwood, sued him. He said he posed with it, and now his reputation has been tarnished because people think that he is this convicted killer. So he took him to court. That's actually kind of, I don't know. This family, they welcomed a daughter. Now, normally that wouldn't be like, you know, I mean, people welcome kids all the time. But apparently with this particular family, it was the first daughter born in the husband's family since 1885. They have only had sons since 1885. And so they are really celebrating. Those are some genes, man. A kid got stuck in a claw machine, a 13-year-old in North Carolina, and they had to get authorities to come and get him out. I mean, you're 13 years old. Why are you climbing in there? He was hoping to score a prize. It was in the Cosmic XL bonus game. Stay with us. A lot more in store just seconds, minutes away.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all, live or on demand. The Dana Show.
I won't assign racial bias to the police without further discussion and investigation. And I think that we did have officers, white officers for what it's worth, who did a lot of hard work to get this case filed to the prosecutor, having charges filed shortly thereafter. That being said, to pretend that race is not a part of this whole situation would be to have your head in the sand. This boy was shot because he was existing while black, and he knocked on the door of someone who clearly, clearly fears black people, black boys, black children. And I think that that is clear as day.
I would love to know where they get this from. I think it's, unless you know that for certain, it is so irresponsible to say something like that. First off, welcome back to the program. That was the mayor of Kansas City in this case of this teenager who went to, he's a 16-year-old teenager in Kansas City. He went to the wrong address to go pick up his twin brothers. And he was shot by this 84-year-old homeowner who said that, you know, apparently, I guess the argument that seems to be intimated from the police report is that he was in fear. He was like scared for his life or something like that. And there were, and the way that it's, some of the reporting has been a little bit all over. And I say this because two things. First off, I don't believe that this was a self-defense case, number one, from everything that's been reported publicly. Number two, I also don't think that this is anything to, stand your ground is not applicable here. But what I, and we've talked about this on break, what we're kind of wondering how this is going to be presented by prosecution or defense in court, because I read that some said that it was that he knocked on the door. Some said that he rang the doorbell. Some of the media reports, one headline said that he was in the doorway. And then the other said that I only read one report that said he was in the doorway. And then everyone else said that he was on the porch. And quite honestly, if the guy shot through the door, I don't see that he was inside. I mean, if he shot through the storm door, then the kid was outside on the porch. And further, the you know, the blood and et cetera on scene seems to support that as well. The forensic, the evidence that's there seems to support that. So the adding this racial aspect, and the Clay County prosecutor also pushed this. They said that there was a racial component. I don't know where they're getting this from. I think that when you, especially this early, you can't make that claim unless you're ready to release evidence right with it to support that. Because now what we're going to see is that it purposefully fuels hatred and division. If they're going to say that, then what is the evidence to support it? The guy was charged with two felonies. And I get that gun control activists are saying, oh, this is what happens with the shoot first. There's no such thing as a shoot first law. That is what Michael Bloomberg's irresponsible Everytown people are saying. It's what they use that instead of saying stand your ground, but stand your ground isn't applicable here. I mean, first off, he was in his home, and every state protects defense in the home. And I don't think it was a defense case. Now, the one report, and Kay noted this, and I'd read this too. It said that he was pulling on the exterior door of his house. And so the guy believed that it was a break-in attempt. So I don't know. That's where we're going to need more evidence on. We're going to need more information on that. But from what I've seen, it's really difficult for, I think it's going to be really hard for the defense to say that this was a self-defense case. Now, with all of this discussion on racial whatever with this story, why is there no outrage over the story of this 20-year-old woman? Kaylin Gillis from Saratoga County, New York. She was in her vehicle. She made the wrong turn into a driveway. And as the She was in the vehicle. Someone else was driving. As the driver was leaving, the owner of the home pulled up and fired two shots from his patio at the vehicle. Gillis was struck, and the 65-year-old homeowner was arrested. They said that They were looking for a friend's house. They pulled into the wrong driveway. That definitely wasn't self-defense either. I don't know if there's a lot of outrage over that, but that wasn't self-defense. Or what about if people are hell-bent on making race a part of this, making race part of this discussion, then okay, let's have the conversation about the woman who was beaten pretty much I don't know what injury she sustained in Chicago. Did you all see the riots there that were taking place in Chicago? And there was a woman who was attacked on North Wabash Avenue. And, I mean, she was beaten. She was, I think, a young woman. And there were a bunch of young males, and she was going into the door of this building, and they grabbed her and stomped her. I mean, I'm just wondering, where's the racial aspect of this case? She's 20 years old. She was with a young man. They were trying to pass through where the mob was. And she was trying to help her friend. And the other friend has injuries to his face and shoulder, etc. They had all their stuff stolen, their shoes, their watches, their phones. Another woman stepped in after this and helped them. This was in Chicago. The statistics that people are pushing in the cases where they try to assert race in this don't support reality. And I would, for this to go back to this Missouri case, this Clay County prosecutor, this 84-year-old Andrew Lester, are they arguing that if he saw a white teenager show up at his door at night, then that he wouldn't have? I don't believe it was self-defense, but I don't think it was racially motivated either. I really don't. Of course, as Lorraine notes, you know, I mean, he just did what Biden told everyone to do: shoot your shotgun through the door. Yeah. Remember when Biden said that? He told Field and Stream that, yeah, you know, if there's ever a problem, you just walk out on the balcony and, you know, or you put up that double barrel shotgun, you fire two blasts. That's what he was telling her: shoot through your door, shoot off your balcony. I mean, that's like both of those things are not legal, but, you know, whatever. The sad thing is that with this story, I mean, I think it's horrible what happened to the 16-year-old. I mean, all the reports, he wasn't doing nothing wrong. The gun control advocates are going to seize on it and try to make it about a story to undermine Stand Your Ground. And then you have the race hustlers that are going to seize it and try to use it as further division on racial lines. And I don't see that it was either racially motivated or self-defense. I don't. I think it's despicable that Clay County prosecutor goes out and says something like this and doesn't, I mean, put forward any other kind of, you know, evidence or anything for that. Now, in the meantime, you have all of these stories where, I mean, absolute lawlessness. How many teens, like, this is not just Chicago. It's apparently, like, everywhere. All of these kids that are running around and getting involved in this criminal activity, I mean, it's horrible. It's not just, I was also reading that was it's in Portland, it was in California, it's everywhere. The kids are not all right. Speaking of California, they think that utility rates should be tied to how much you earn. This is what they're pushing. If enacted, costs are going to be passed along to consumers who may have consumed the least energy in a month, but they're going to be forced to pay the most. So Californian utility companies, there's a plan that's presented in response to a new state law requiring them to come up with a fixed rate bill on customers based on customers' annual income, not how much electricity or water they use, but it's based on their income. San Diego Gas and Electric, PG&E, and Southern California Edison filed a joint proposal alongside of the Public Utilities Commission that, if adopted, would fix the rate on income, not on usage. So if you make less than $28,000 a year, it's $15 a month. If you make over $180,000, it's $85 a month. So the people who, doesn't matter how much you use, you could use the least, but if you make the most, then you have to pay. Now, also in wokery, we may have to talk about this more next hour. There's a lot of fighting over casting in the Lilo and Stitch movie, the live action Lilo and Stitch. Oh my gosh, the left is livid at each other. So for instance, they cast an actual Hawaiian guy to play a Hawaiian guy in Lilo and Stitch, and the left is mad because he's a light-skinned Hawaiian guy and not a dark-skinned Hawaiian guy. That sounds racist. Because
it is.
It's the love interest for the sister in Lilo and Stitch. And they're mad because he's legit Hawaiian. Like, he's born and raised in Hawaii. He is Polynesian, but they're mad because he's light-skinned Polynesian. This is the left that's freaking out about this. It's everywhere. Screen Rants, Film Updates, everything. They got a lot of controversy over who was playing the sister, which is insane to me, because it was another one of those situations. It is wild how mad the left is over this. They had the casting for the sister where they said that it was blatant colorism, and they said that they said casting a lighter skin Hawaiian to play the sister is colorism, and that Lilo and Stitch is actually about race, etc. Oh my gosh. So that's what the left is doing with us. They're ruining their kid movie with their made up outrage. And it's just, I don't know, it's wild. We have Florida Man on the way. Florida Man's going to bring us some sanity. You know, it's bad when you got to have Florida Man, like, you know, bring the sanity.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I want someone to explain to me how you can disrespectfully consume a key lime pie. So here's why I say this, because this is an actual headline from ABC? No, NBC affiliate, Channel 2. So this is in Fort Myers. This is one of the worst written stories because you have to go like five paragraphs in to get to the whole point. So I would fire the person who wrote this piece because they need to go back to J school. So it starts here, like six paragraph. David Powelson, he got a key lime pie for his mom's birthday, put it in the refrigerator, and then he apparently, another guy who was in the house, the article, because it's so poorly written and because Teddy Byrne, who is the author, should be fired because he can't write a story. Long story short, one of the other people who's living in the house ate the pie. And when Powelson got mad because he caught the guy eating his mom's key lime pie for her birthday pie, yeah. The guy then started like smearing it on his mouth. And the reason disrespect came into it is because Powelson told police that he was disrespectfully eating it. Like, he was taunting him at that point afterwards. They had to get the police involved and everything. It was a pretty big deal. Worst story ever. Please get a better journalist. Also, a Florida man was accused of grabbing his genitals and giving the finger to a man and his 8-year-old son. In Marathon, Florida, it was a homeless Marathon man. He was arrested for flashing and grabbing his genitals in a Home Depot parking lot. The man who reported the indecent exposure said he was pulling into the lot on August 30th. It's actually just now going to trial, by the way. They believe that the guy, the homeless guy, 65-year-old, said that they knew him from previous interactions. They searched, they were looking for him. They didn't find him. They put a warrant out. He was booked indecent exposure, but apparently they were trying to get him on another charge because there was an 8-year-old involved. So it was like indecent exposure with a minor, etc. A Florida man, is apparently, you know, I actually saw this go viral. There was an email from an educator that was not based in Florida telling kids to you can't skip classes 'cause you're going to Taylor Swift concert. So this was in Tampa. I didn't think that had to actually be done for the superintendent. Apparently, so he was warning stuff. One of their staffers was apparently caught at the didn't go into school the next day because they were at a Taylor Swift concert. This, no. And I can't use that one. And I can't use this one either. No. Well, we can talk about this guy who crashed into a golf cart. This is wholesome enough. A Florida man was arrested on DUI charges. He crashed into a golf cart and injured two in Brevard County, Florida. 56 DUI charges. He looks like he's DUI in his mugshot. He injured two people. He crashed into a golf cart. How do you just drive into a golf cart? So he hit the golf cart, then he drove off. But then he later returned and said he had thought he hit an animal. The witnesses said that he was hauling A-double snakes before he hit the golf cart. So he told troopers he followed the guy to his home, confronted him about the crash. When police asked him how much he had to drink, he replied, a few. And a few was a full sixer. So the two people in the golf cart were taken to the hospital. No information about their conditions. He can't, I thought I hit an animal. That was a pretty big animal that you probably thought that you... Yeah, that you hit. Oh my gosh. All right, third hour on the way. We've got a lot to get into. The weird fringe infighting. These are things you probably should know about, but we're not going to dwell, but just to, you know, keep you updated. Stick with us.
One in every 5 metric tons of carbon dioxide our city emits comes from food. But all food is not created equal. The vast majority of food that is contributing to our emission crisis lies in meat and dairy products. We already know that a plant-powered diet is better for your physical and mental health, and I am living proof of that. But the reality is that thanks to this new inventory,
like we're finding Kamala out Harris.
It is better for the planet.
Okay. I may need some Enya because it's National Government Theft / Abolish the IRS Day. And then this on top of it? Really? You know the problem is that there are too many redundant pieces of meat that run for office on this planet. That's really the meat we should be talking about. Oh, I said it. Welcome back to the program. You're absolutely hateful. Curmudgeon here with you today. Dana Lash. Can listen coast to coast. You can, if you want to talk about other people too, you can join the chat. It's over at YouTube. You can watch a simulcast of the radio program as well on channel 347 DirecTV. So he's saying that he wants us to eat bugs and plants.
Well, I don't know if he said bugs. Did he say bugs?
No. So that's what they all mean. Bugs and plants. I mean, do I look like a tofu eating, you know, hiking sandal wearing, Volvo driving tree hugger to you? I like to have muscle definition and energy. We were built to eat meat. If the good Lord above did not want us to eat animals, he would not have made them out of meat. End of story. Discussion over. You know, it's the meat. You know what it is? It's also all of these celebrities that sit here and lecture everybody about climate change, and then they take, you know, a butt ton amount of private flights. That's an actual measurement. Check it. They take all these private flights. That's, you know, that's another big problem. Like people like Leonardo DiCaprio. I read this story the other day where he took two private flights so he could celebrate New Year's twice. Yeah, he was in like somewhere in Southeast Asia and then he came like to LA or something then so he could celebrate New Year's. I'm not joking. Or what is it? That slovenly ginger spare who took like 22 private flights while their shell corporation, whatever charity thing that doesn't do any charity, where they sit here and talk about climate change and everything else that everyone else should follow. Climate change is an indulgence of the rich socialist. That's what it is. It is. It's a hobby of the rich socialist where they can pretend to do the charitable work and they do the least amount, but they want the return of feeling good about themselves so that they can say that they care about something other than themselves. But really, it's still a self-glorifying action, right? I mean, you guys should, you know, you have to have a straw that dissolves in your stupid drink so Leonardo DiCaprio can take private flights to everywhere else. Or the spare ginger who probably lied to get a visa into the United States so he can take his private jet and fly everywhere. But your straw gets to dissolve in your drink, the paper straw. Jeez. By the way, I rage against paper straws. They are, can I just say, if I was an alien, I would want to bomb the planet just because of paper straws. I hate them that bad. Right? When someone gives you a paper straw at a restaurant, isn't it just a complete disappointment? Like they let down all of humanity when they hand it to you, right? Isn't it just horrible?
Yeah, it's like bringing the most useless thing to the table.
I will say, I found, and don't, the only reason, I can't even believe I'm saying this, I haven't told you guys about this because I don't like to misrepresent myself as some nut eater tree hugger in any way, but it was a USA-made straw. Oh, yeah, you're like, Dana, you really, yeah, I did. You think I'm joking with this stuff? Like, that's why I was like, do the public SQ thing because I spend this much time. I don't know how much time on my life I've spent. I can't have any Chinese-made straws, but it's like I'd never wanted to tell you guys this because it sounds like I'm literally a tree hugger. And I don't want to give that impression because not that I hate trees because I'm not hugging them. But it's like a biodegradable corn straw. It's actually pretty good. And I don't have to worry about it. I mean, I have one on my tumbler all the time. Yeah. So, and it doesn't dissolve and it's made of corn. Isn't that wild? It looks like plastic, but if I really wanted to snap it in half, I could. You know, but it doesn't dissolve. And anyway, it was USA made. That's the only reason that I even got them. Otherwise, I'm like, bring on the plastic. I have some friends who are big time, like Republican climate people. And they're always like, Dana, I can't believe, like if I put something on Instagram about a straw or something, they give me so much. I can't tell you what I send to them in response because I couldn't air it because I'd get fined. But I'm like, you know better. Come on. Come on. All right. So, it's National Theft Day. I didn't really want to talk about this because it makes me mad. I can't even, oh man. It's National Theft of Your Income Day. And this is, I really don't want to tell you how much the government's wasting of your money. Do I want to? Oh my gosh. It's really, I don't want to do you all like this. I mean, the amount of waste that our government that we have it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Daryl Issa was putting stuff out. He was saying we gave $7 million to social media influencers to post about seafood. I legit may walk off air and go riot right now. Good Lord, put a hand over my mouth. And the other one on my shoulder to keep me in my seat. Yeah. $7 million for, and I bet they're on TikTok, right? I hate the word influencer. What does that even mean? Oh, gosh. $7 million to social media to post about seafood. I don't even know what the Biden administration's paying the ones on TikTok to sit here and talk about his plans that they don't even understand. My favorite thing in the world is people who don't even pay taxes probably because they live at home with mom and dad and they're on TikTok sitting here lecturing everybody else about what they should do with their money. Yeah. Love it. I don't know. I had to work like very early on. Well, not super early on, but I was a teenager. I was involved in everything and I worked all throughout college, worked two jobs all throughout college. I immediately was like, this is ridiculous. How much of my money the government's taken? Oh, and now they're going after everything from your Etsy to your Venmo to your PayPal to what are all the other ones? All of those little, pay facility. They're going to make us all honestly live like damn villagers in Minecraft, where in order to keep the government out of all of our stuff, we're going to have to do basic trades. Gems and parchment for just, you know, basic items. We're all going to be like villagers, NPCs in Minecraft, trading stuff. Jiminy Christmas. We sent a bunch of stimulus checks to prisoners, including terrorists, about $783 million worth. $4 million bird sanctuary. Oh, that was fun. Mm-hmm. That was fun. Also, that's where all of our tax dollars go. There are so many waste reports that have been out, but it is national. It's National Theft Day. Our taxes are going to go up. We're going to have 87,000 new agents. My husband was saying you shouldn't complain about, don't complain about the IRS to our accountants. They, because we have an accounting firm that we use, and he's like, you know, their whole business is based on the IRS, and I'm like, abolish it all. I'm like, I don't care. Abolish it all. It's crazy. When are people going to learn? I mean, when is enough going to be enough, right? I'm almost at the point where any candidate that will not tell me, yes, I will abolish the IRS, get out. I'm almost, I mean, I am pretty much there. Get out then. I don't want to hear about, I don't want to hear about your, you know, strat. Get out. Revenue has been the highest it's ever been. Oh, here we go. Yeah, I would love to see. I can't wait till those reports come out. We can see exactly how much the Biden campaign is spending on those influencers to talk about all of his plans and everything else. National Government Theft Day. And then people are going to get all excited when the government gives some of the money back that they stole from them. We got our return. Yeah. Okay, so the couple of things that I wanted to hit here that I want to make sure we get to, because we've been, we've talked about, we've had some woke rake. Can we, really quickly, can I talk about this MLB thing that I see going around everywhere? It's not like, no, I'm not like getting into the sports aspect of it. Did you guys hear this? There was this big debate that I saw that kicked off because of this Major League Baseball player, Anthony Bass. They were on United Airlines and he like blew up United Airlines. He was, they were flying back after the Blue Jays opening in Toronto. He was with his 22-week pregnant wife, and they have a 5- and a 2-year-old. And his younger daughter dropped some popcorn. And he was mad because instead of cleaning up the mess, he said the flight attendant made his wife get on her hands and knees to pick it up. And he goes, the flight attendant at United just made my 22-week pregnant wife traveling with a 5- and 2-year-old to get on her hands and knees and pick up the popcorn mess by my youngest. Are you kidding me? And I have a question. What was he doing? Was he there? Because it sounds like he was flying with her. Why?
It sounds like that. I haven't found any confirmation that he was on the plane, but I'm still looking.
Well, it says that he was flying with his family.
So he was on the plane with her?
That's what it says. Oh. Yeah, it says he was... He says that it was an encounter they had with a flight attendant. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but why did she do it if he was there? Is my first thing.
Yes.
Right? Like, why didn't you do it then? Second thing is, there was a lot of popcorn on the floor that the kid dropped. It was. Pick it up. Right? It's not the end of the world. I mean... I just don't understand what the problem is. Like, pick it up then. Or you can ask for help in picking it up. But, like, be proactive. And also, your kids are old enough not to drop food all over the floor like that. I've had toddlers. I've traveled with toddlers. I know exactly how it goes. I mean, you can be a little proactive. I'm just saying. You know, you don't need to vilify people for either doing it or not doing it. But good night. Like, why does this have to be like this big national debate? Everything now because of social media gets turned into a giant national debate, an example of X, Y, and Z. Everyone takes a small, insignificant problem in their lives and they blow it up to be this national controversy. And I am so tired of all of it. Just pick up your kids' damn popcorn. Good heavens, it's not the end of the world. And if you're traveling with your spouse and you don't want them to get on your knees, get off your ass and help pick it up then yourself. I don't know. What is the problem? I don't get it. What am I missing? I mean, you're traveling on United Airlines. It's not the St. Regis line. It's not the Four Seasons airline. It's United. Okay? It's like, they're not going to, I mean, it is what it is. But now to turn this into like a big thing, I don't know. I just, and there was a lot of popcorn on the floor. I would have said, hey, kids, don't drop all that stuff on the floor. Right. Actually, I would have made my kids pick it up. I wouldn't have gotten down there to do it. I'd have made my kids do it. So I don't know. We got to get rolling. We have a whole bunch of other stuff to get into, including the debt ceiling fight. What McCarthy has had to say about this.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Amazon Prime Video, they've launched what they call Dialogue Boost. It's a feature for their original series and films. So if you think that the certain dialogue is too low, you can hit the Dialogue Boost feature and it brings it up. Almost like it's like remixed where the dialogue, I'm actually glad because sometimes some of these productions are not mixed well and you're like, why is the dialogue so, like the score should not be louder. Come on. So anyway. All right. So how do you say this? Haribo? The gummy bear people?
Yeah. Haribo?
Okay. So they're supposed to be where each bear, the flavor is identified by color. And some people thought that the green bear was lime or watermelon even, or green apple. It's actually strawberry.
What?
Right? The green gummy bear is strawberry. How is the green gummy bear strawberry? That didn't even make any sense. That makes zero sense. And a bombshell Senate report, we're going to hit this, that there could have been at least two lab leaks in Wuhan that triggered the Rona.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you mean biowarfare agents? I mean, what? Stay with us.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I think about innovation as being the pursuit of that, right? The pursuit of what makes us more efficient, more accurate, faster, right? More relevant to the needs of the people. We don't engage in innovation because we're bored with things the way they've been. It's the pursuit of doing things better than we have done.
Oh, God.
And seeing what is possible unburdened by what is.
Oh, my gosh. Why? Every time. That line. Stop. Oh, my gosh. Unburdened by what has been. So we can see the future unburdened by what has been. Every speech, Kane. Welcome back to the radio program. You can watch the simulcast. It's National Government Theft Day. Hashtag abolish the IRS. Hashtags don't work in real life, Dana. Shut up. And we're in a mood. I say collectively because I bring everyone with me. We're in a mood today.
Yeah.
Make sure you sign up for the newsletter, Substack. I have no idea what's going to come out later today because we're in a mood, I'm telling you.
Yeah, whatever it is, it'll be unburdened.
Unburdened by
what has been.
Oh, my gosh. No one steps in and is like, psst. No.
Right.
Stop it.
She has no friends?
Stop saying that. Or, you know what? Or people hate her and they want her to say it because she looks stupid. Should I say that again? Should I say, yes, say it, Madam Vice President. It's an amazing phrase. You should say it multiple times in the same speech. It's so good. Okay, it's good to know. I mean, that's the only honestly thing that I can think of at this point. I have no idea.
So I have 14 separate occasions since May of last year.
No.
That she has said this.
No.
That exact line.
Really?
Unburdened by what has been.
14 times.
Yeah. And that's just from what I've seen on Twitter. That doesn't, I may be missing some.
Unburdened by what has been. That's going to be like her epitaph. Unburdened by what has been. I don't even know what that means. What does that even mean? It's words,
unburdened.
Dana, organized in a certain way that make me sound like I'm saying something of substance.
To not be burdened by history?
I don't even know, man.
By that?
Everything is, why is everything stupid? Because, Dana, it is. All right. Go ahead and play this audio. Who is this? This is, we just thought it was funny the way he said the alphabet thing.
Yeah.
This is Jemima Gomez. And
Democrat Rep. Jimmy Gomez.
I don't know. We just started making fun of this audio soundbite on break. That's it. Listen.
Republicans are attacking trans and other LGBTQ kids. And it shows exactly who they are. Bigots and bullies. And
bigots
I said that
and
once,
bullies.
And I'll say it again.
Bigots
and
bullies.
Bullies.
It sounds like a club. Right?
It's like bogeys and grinders.
Yeah. Bigots and bullies. Like if I was doing it in, what was that SNL skit? Where he, like, Stefan hit all the club names?
Right.
Welcome to Bigots and Bullies, where DJ Baby Bok Choy has knees like biscuits and spins the hits. Like that. Bigots and bullies.
In an old Payless shoe store.
Yeah, it's in an old Payless shoe store. You have to get your tickets out of a broken gumball machine. Wait, did he say the AI thing after?
He did not.
What was that? You added something onto that.
Kids are attacking trans and other LGBTQ.
LGBTQ, okay.
LGBTQ. So there's LGBTQ, which stands for queer questioning.
All I know is every LGB I know does not want to be with the other letters.
That's actually true.
Yeah. But then you said there was more letters. Like, are any of them barbecue?
No.
BBQ? No?
That would be helpful and probably garner more support.
I would totally support BBQ.
Oh, for sure. So
delicious.
LGBTQ, like I said, queer and questioning is what the Q stands for. Intersex is I. A is asexual.
What?
Yes.
Is that?
Intersex.
Is that a movie?
It's opposite of outer sex.
No, inner. I'm thinking of inner space.
Intersex.
Or Inception. What is, hang on, I gotta, oh, do I want to Google this? No, damn.
We haven't even got to the fun parts of all these acronyms.
I actually have to do this to my job. Okay. So wait a minute, this doesn't make sense either. It says that intersex is a general term used for a variety of situations. Mm-hmm. What? In which a person is born with reproductive or sexual anatomy that doesn't fit the boxes of male or female. Like hermaphrodites?
I guess so.
Okay. And the other letter?
And then, of course, it's the asexual. That's where the A comes from. And then two-spirit. If you ever see the two S in that acronym.
Shut up.
It stands for two-spirit.
That you are possessed?
I don't think that's what
legion.
They mean.
What?
By that. I don't think that's what they mean by that.
Cast you out, devil. Wait, I'm sorry. I don't know. I was
but
like
you're
going
of,
over.
You're of two spirits, which sounds like a binary spirit system.
So like, wait a minute. Let me, oh gosh. If I don't Google this really fast, the internet is going to go overboard and telling you gleefully. I know how you people are. Okay, so apparently, so you can only, oh, what? I'm more confused now after I looked. Is this helpful? No, it's not, Google. It's not helpful. So this is how it's defined. Two spirit. What?
Yes.
That's what it says. Two spirit, also two spirit, or 2S, or occasionally two spirited, is a modern pan-Indian umbrella term used by some indigenous North Americans to describe what native people in their communities who fulfill a traditional third gender, ceremonial and social role in their cultures. That is like even more confusing.
A shaman?
Okay. So you are a person who can have both a masculine and a feminine spirit. Oh my gosh.
I just wrote
5,000 skits in my head. What? Yes. This is nuts. Pun intended. What? That sounds like possessed.
It does.
I can hear my grandma already from beyond the grave. That's of the devil. Devil.
I think they're adding more and more to it every year. There's like more.
Yeah, because Lorraine just dropped in. Oh my gosh. So she put this, she moderates the chat and she's a contributor at Chapter and Verse. Okay, so Kane, let's see. There's a lot of letters here.
Two P's in there. Yeah,
yeah.
We got the two P's.
It's L G B T Q Q I A A P P O 2 S. It sounds like a very bad passcode.
That is. That's going to be my next password.
It's LGBTQ. Oh wait, Fey Folk? I don't even know what that is. We're not. This is now. It's like a True Blood show.
Fey Folk.
I don't know. I'm just trying to get over the two spirit thing. So the two spirit is if you have a male and a female
Sounds binary.
It sounds binary. Yeah. Oh, you just stumbled upon. So how does the two spirit thing?
Yeah, how does non-binary and two spirit square up with each other? That's weird.
We are spirits in a material world. I just don't know right now how does that work? This is why it gets the, I don't know. What? Wait, they have a flag. So if you're two-spirited, then your body houses a masculine spirit and a feminine spirit. Okay. What?
I think we all have that ability.
So it sounds like you're possessed. Well, I really want this, but, you know, Stan, who is my male spirit, wants this.
Damn it, Stan!
I mean, I don't know. I'm at actual loss of words here. So there's that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Don't.
They added K to it too.
I don't even want to know what that means. Is that knight? Like they identify as a medieval person? I don't know.
That'd be nice if it was, but it's not. It stands for kink.
What? Why does that have to look? You don't need a flag for everything in your life, okay? You don't need that. Like, for instance, you know, going back to BBQ, I like the St. Louis style. I like a dry rub. I don't like to put my meat in soup that I call barbecue. I'm so sorry, Carolinas. I love you to bits, but God love you. No, I can't. Oh, man, I will get more hate mail over this than I will have gotten anything in my career. Almost the first time I got more hate mail was when I said I didn't like Sammy Hagar. And I almost...
Why do you say stuff like that in public?
I'm not in St. Louis now, so I can say that. But I thought literally I was going to get beaten to death. So I was afraid. I was afeared for my life. So, but I will say this. You don't need a flag for everything. So if I like a dry rub barbecue, does that mean I get a special flag for that? Or is it only related to how you like to have the sex? I don't know. Like, you really have to, I mean, we of all the things to have flags for, that's what you go with, right? I like these types of genitals, so I need this flag to represent that. Can you just go on with your life and not, you know, I mean, it's literally like the Worldwide Privacy Tour, but with sex, right? I feel like it's nobody cares. Nobody cares. It's like that scene from Jurassic Park. See, nobody cares. It's like that. Nobody cares. Stop. And don't add any more letters on. I don't even know what this stuff means. I feel like I'm reading like a True Blood scene. Polyamory, omnisexual, two-spirit feller over here. I mean, what is that even? What? And doesn't two-spirit negate everything else? Because it's a binary thing. That sounds like possession. Okay. 6 more Bidens. Golly, there's 6 more. They may have gained from the family business scheme, says James Comer. Oh, what? We know this. Man, they've been making fat bank. Thousands of pages of financial records related to the Biden family, their companies, their associates, their business schemes, all made available to members of the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability. They are still investigating all of this. And there's still an unknown Biden who received 4 payments in 2017. $70,000. The brother got 6 figures. Even the daughter-in-law got thousands of dollars. All related to the CEFC China Energy Company. The CCP Energy Company. Remember that? They wired millions to a Biden family associate and then he divided it up amongst the family over about 3 months. How is that not a national security concern? Because you have the president of the United States whose family is, I mean, that is a direct cash path. Those are receipts. That's the paper trail showing that they made money off the CCP. That's incredibly significant here. That is an absolute national security issue, particularly when he's pushing these policies to make us more dependent upon China.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
How many people that work in Homeland Security have been accountable for breaking the law? And do you believe that the government looking at private messages on Twitter is a violation of the law?
Senator, we don't censor a speech, so I want to... nip that misimpression in the bud.
You mean the Nina Jankowicz lady?
Yeah.
The disinformation board that was under him? When he, like, almost at this time last year, when he had to go before the Senate Appropriations Committee, and that was Alejandro Mayorkas, and testify as to whether or not he knew what the board was going to do and how they were going to actually try to silence what they determined to be disinformation. And, like, remember when he was asked whether or not the Biden laptop was Russian disinformation, and he couldn't answer the question, but he also wants to claim that they don't control speech. What? Does anybody believe that? I have a bridge to sell you. if you do. Welcome back to the program. I mean, that was like a year ago, almost a year ago. It was May 4th when he testified on that. He had to go and clarify what the DHS disinformation board, when all of that broke. He had to go and clarify what that meant, and he couldn't really. No. I want to nip that in the bud. We don't censor speech. We don't do that. I kind of want to disagree. Right? Oh, like, remember that time, too, when they, DHS, when they were telling people to not talk about how the Border Patrol agents were using reins to steer their horses and not, like, whipping people? There was also that. But that's not controlling people's speech, right? I mean, I don't know how anyone can believe. I mean, I don't believe it. Make sure that you sign up for the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. A lot of good stuff that goes up there. There were a couple of pieces yesterday. And, of course, I also send out my daily prep email. And you can see some of the stuff that we're hitting in the program. I add some stuff on in the morning, but you can see some of the things that we're hitting at in the morning. So make sure that you sign up for that over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. I also have a note section that I put all of the weird stuff that doesn't go in a newsletter. I put it in the notes. And find us on Facebook and YouTube. Like and subscribe. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
It is our Vice President Kamala Harris. Well, she had a lot of things that could have categorized.
Unburdened by what has been.
We could have put right here in Today in Stupidity. But here's her talking about how entrepreneurs are small business. We'll talk about that when she's done.
You know, I think that when we think about the SBA, it's about small businesses, but entrepreneurs are also small businesses.
Yeah.
I've started to use the two phrases together. Because we don't want to leave anyone out because they're the same kind of people. They actually are the same people.
What is she talking about?
Entrepreneurs start small businesses. But small businesses themselves, if they want to be an extent of the individual, I guess you can. But why would you even try and make a comparison or even a differentiation of the two?
I mean, is there a speech that she has given where people are like, you know what, that was good. And she really kind of knocked it out of the park.
I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah. Folks, that does it for us this afternoon. It went by fast. But see, that's what happens when we hang together and deal with it all. We'll be back behind the mic with you tomorrow. God bless.